Yes, it is time for the Revengerist podcast of stuff. This is Brushpick, along with Dr. Pacey.
It is not time for the Revengerist podcast.
The Southside Santa.
Hey, I'm here, and so are you. And so is that guy.
Introducing this guy, Dirkirch.
Hello.
Kirchy. I like to say Kirchy, but I'm probably wrong.
It was A.
This is a Revengerist that we've met along. You've got a lot of different versions of your origin story. I was never really clear on.
I come from here and there. I've been everywhere, man.
And there and then, because the way we encountered him was on one of our time traveling adventures, and I think in Siberia. Of course, when we see an awesome, like, you've heard how we've gotten interns on the show, but if you're wondering how we recruit new awesomes to the Revengerists, it's really something that starts with just a random encounter, or we go and find them because we've heard about them. And we have this, like, epic battle. In this case, it destroyed a large chunk of Siberia. We were out in the woods, and it exploded. And we came back to this time, and he's been hanging out on our couch ever since.
I've never seen him on the couch.
I'm very sneaky.
But we're glad to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
What kind of powers do you have?
Mostly manipulate electronics nowadays, but I've been known to time travel, open dimension door rifts, various magic feats.
That sort of sounds like you just play a lot of WoW. Manipulate electronics and travel through time and magic. Are you just fucking with us? And actually, you're just a WoW nerd?
I've actually never even played. They don't have a race based on
that. Obviously, you know you've played it because you know it's a game, and anybody who knows that something is a game has played that game. So, you lose.
Clearly.
Are you sure you're not just one of the interns? Because, I mean, those guys sneak into our gaming place all the time. They're supposed to be working.
Screwing with my save file.
I'm going to say that he's not an intern because he was born hundreds of years before the concept of internships. Maybe an apprentice, like, to an old type guild, but... definitely not an intern.
Yeah, I used to be with the Oculus group for a while. The eye was very squishy.
Were you a squishy wizard?
Sure.
I thought we were done recruiting squishy wizards.
We could always use more squishy wizards. All right, here's Dirkirch. He's a full-fledged Revengerist now. He's gotten his chops in using his ancient magics to best our foes. And, you know, we battled him. And once you battle someone... they're on your team. They're friends. So that's what happened. How about some news? A Detroit man stole his father's corpse and then attempted to bring it back to life. They're on hard times there in Detroit, as you know. And they've accused this guy of stealing this body, his dad's body, from a cemetery in Detroit and trying to attempt more ancient magics to bring him back to life. I don't have a lot of details on this. This is from CPS.
What else is new?
I mean, once in a recession, this is exactly what happens.
I mean, I've seen this a million times before. People trying to resurrect their dads.
Mm-hmm. Or moms or sisters.
I mean, they just don't get it. They don't get that if you try to resurrect a parent, that they're not going to come back the same, and they're going to eat all of your food, and they're going to pester you and tell you to clean your room up, and it just doesn't work out.
And then you need to pay for them to go to a nursing home.
I found they generally try to eat your neighbors.
Yeah, it's not advised. We've talked about this before, too. It's not advised to bring anyone, no matter how much you think they're your loved one, back from the dead. Especially after you've stored them in a freezer, like this guy did. I mean, there's not a lot of coming back from this. He's going to have severe brain damage and or zombification.
Along with he's going to end up smelling like... whatever food was in there. So it's like, oh, hey, Dad, I brought you back from life. Hey, I'm going to give you a hug. And now you smell like pork chops.
What's the logic behind bringing back a brain-dead parent anyway?
I mean,
you're going to have to take care of them.
Some of us already have brain-dead parents, so...
Yeah, so why would you want to do it again? You'd have double brain-dead parents.
Can you go more than brain-dead?
I mean, you can go... re-dead, undead, dead-dead. Dead as a doornail.
The final deadening.
I mean, I don't really understand the concept of death, but it happens. Well, and you can be double dead.
None of us have died, for the record. So we really shouldn't necessarily be passing judgment. I mean, that's
we've not died yet.
No, we're not dead.
Therefore, we're immortal.
They're dead Americans. We're whatever we are. So, look, we chose to live our lives our way, and they chose to live their lives as a dead person. So let's not... Everyone's different. It's cool.
And I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm not dead.
There are trees.
Dirk Hirsch, have you ever dug up a family member or loved one to try to bring back to life? And how?
Well, it wasn't very pretty, and it didn't really work out so great. I basically ended up further killing them and barbecuing the corpse a little bit. It's very difficult to actually bring somebody back. Long pork is delicious.
We try not to, admit. We try to talk about long pork on a recording.
Oh, yeah,
the
sorry.
Legal department is asking me, I do not eat humans.
But actually, you think we work our interns overtime. Our legal department, man, those guys deserve, a Nobel Prize for all of the atrocities that they cover up. Like, they should get a Nobel Peace Prize or something. They work hard for the money.
They do. We have a lot, I guess the United States has a lot of mistakes that it needs to cover up, so, because they do a terrible job. Like, it's like, you're in the kitchen, and you're trying to cook dinner, and you've got all these, ingredients and other things set up, and you have a pitcher of water, and then you knock that over by accident, but you try to catch it, but you mess up, and then it, knocks, and it, gets the floor all wet, and then you slip, and then it causes, a pan to fly up in the air, and then the pan, you try to catch the pan, but it hits, other things, and it just causes a chain reaction of, fucking up.
That's a good parallel to both United States foreign policy and the way that the revengerists fight crime. We have a lot in common with them. I mean, I feel like no one wants to see the baby end up in the blender, but through a comedy of errors, it might
that baby's going into a blender.
It might just happen.
Well, I don't think we make mistakes. Like, everything that we do is on purpose.
No, it's chaos theory, though. It's even if you don't make mistakes. I should have said errors. I meant more like errors in baseball, where, no one's at fault.
Yeah.
In other news. So that was in Detroit, Michigan, where crazy things are happening. But a story's going to be good when I start in Florida. Every time there's a story from Florida, it is some whacked out, crazy, fucked up shit. So this man, this brilliant man with the early Eminem hair, has invoked not only Stand Your Ground law in his defense for shooting his neighbors, but also the Bush Doctrine, which states that, you can go to war with someone as a preventative measure because they might hypothetically at some point, possibly down the line, want to murder you. Because at some point, maybe they might want to, shoot him. Who knows? And now his attorneys are using that in court, and I think it's an amazing legal precedence. What do you guys think?
I mean, I use that all the time when I think people are going to take my snacks or annoy me, whatever.
We've lost a lot of interns that way.
I mean, it's a good defense.
Yeah.
Not that I need defense, but...
I mean, I don't think anyone in law enforcement would catch you, because they'd have to go underground. We probably shouldn't say a lot of these things.
Yeah, can we edit this out, or...
I'm probably going to edit the part out about admitting that interns come in where? And come out. Because I guess there's still people.
I can't believe you said that.
I know. It had to be done.
Interns aren't people.
Oh, man.
They're technically that. People that we have here.
I even knew when I was saying it.
Hey, can we go beat up a few?
Let's wait until we're done. Like, totally.
Come on. I love them.
I really like where I, light them on fire, and they flail around.
Who's getting college credit now, asshole?
College credit? I thought it was an unpaid, uncredited internship with no...
Well, they get they get exposure to the business.
And radiation.
They get some sort of a radiation, Santa's genitals.
Which is actually the name of my genitals.
Santa's genitals. I shouldn't be laughing at that.
Does anyone have anything about this actual guy who killed his neighbors? Or is he not worth our...
I'm not going to go stop him. I mean,
I guess you gotta kill them in their house so they don't kill you in your house or something.
I mean, they knew when they moved into the neighborhood that he was probably gonna kill them. He said it to his shoulder as they were moving in.
To be fair.
So he's good.
It wasn't in their house. It was in their yard. Like, I'm sure there was like a fence that separated their yards, and his neighbors were having a Labor Day picnic and barbecue. And that's when he walked over to the fence and shot them. And, you know, it's fair. A bunch of people have cooking meat on a fire with, like, sharp pointy things. That's clearly a threat, potentially, maybe someday.
Yeah.
So,
well, the smoke and stuff, first, the smells were trespassing.
That's true. That's true. On his person, in theory.
Well, if they were grilling... There are pointy objects. There are smells trespassing. That type of behavior is unacceptable, especially if there's, like, noises.
Loud noises?
Yes.
It's unheard of.
Well, loud noises are very threatening.
I get scared easily.
I mean, better safe than sorry. Mm-hmm.
So now his lawyers have asked the court to dismiss first-degree murder charges against their clients.
I think this guy needs to become our new Secretary of Defense.
Absolutely.
He clearly has the gumption to end up doing what needs to be done and not asking questions before he acts.
Are you listening, Obama administration? We know you are. You listen to everything.
Hi.
Santa, you had brought this to my attention because I don't watch cable television, but you had seen on the Animal Planet, which is like part of the Discovery Channel or something, so it's real science, that they've discovered mermaids?
The footage shot in a small town in Israel called Kiryat Yam. The two American tourists who took the video believe they've captured conclusive evidence of a mermaid. And they're not the only ones in this tiny oceanside town who've claimed to have had an encounter with a mermaid.
Yeah, they're real. And the Animal Planet is a thing. They are completely real and never ask questions again about this.
No.
I think is what I took out of the program.
I'm going to ask all the questions because this sounds like total bullshit to me. Mermaids are a hoax. Mermaids.
Listen, it's by the Discovery Channel, so it's got to be true.
No, I mean, you can discover lies.
Kiryat Yam has had so many reported mermaid sightings, the local government has offered a $1 million reward to anyone who provides indisputable evidence of the existence of a mermaid in their local
waters. Not necessarily, I guess the program got 3.6 million people watching it, and,
according to
that's pretty embarrassing,
because
I think
only
we don't have 3.6 million people listening to us.
She's apparently
we need to recruit one!
But if you do, then there is a $1 million reward in it for you.
The mayor of Kiryat Yam assures me it's not a tourist ploy.
Rumors about mermaid have been existing.
You know, mermaids, while they're real, are not to be appreciated. I mean, have you ever talked to a mermaid?
No, because they don't exist.
Yeah.
Something in it. I have seen the footage and yes, is
a you Santa. When have you talked to a mermaid?
There is a mermaid.
Well, I watched My Little Mermaid. It's a real thing. I watched that the other night with my VHS player.
How many times have you said that watching VHS tapes is not the same as meeting a person? You are not friends with Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
She understands me like not very many other people do. I've told her things. I've shown her things.
She's talking to the Beast in those scenes.
You don't understand.
She is not real, and neither are mermaids. I'm sorry, Dr. Tasty.
Yes, they are. I'll tell you, mermaids are real, but they're jerks. In fact...
tasties. Jerker needs to be punched in the face of the week.
So anyway, Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week is professional mermaids.
Professional mermaids? Do they wear like mermaids that yeah. wear like a business jacket?
Now, okay, so there's two types of mermaids. There's real mermaids.
Amateur.
And then there's pseudo-fake mermaids. Now, any real mermaid can be a professional mermaid. Just, you know, by being a mermaid. And they make appearances on, like, shows, like the Discovery Channel show and all that stuff. But then there are other people that dress up as mermaids. And they're kind of like furries, except even weirder. Well, both types can be performance artists. Now, there is an entire group of professional mermaids who their entire life and job is to get hired and hang out at parties and be mermaids. That is the dumbest thing in the entire universe. And I've seen a lot of dumb things in the universe. They're so full of themselves, and they think that they deserve all the attention and all the money and like all of the prestige that comes with being a mermaid and performance artist, and I'm just sick of it. And I think whenever I see one, that they need to be Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week.
So they're phonies, is what you're saying. They're not legitimate mermaids.
Well, I mean, even real, like, a real mermaid isn't even a legitimate mermaid.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there are no real mermaids.
No. Well, okay, so they're real.
They're hideous sea creatures.
They're the result of some, like, either genetic splicing or magic. And we all know that magic sucks.
Genetic splicing is a form of magic. It's in the school of magic known as science. Back me up here. Are mermaids not real?
There are various types of mermaids that are real, but not like...
You guys, we are all being very offensive right now. They are mer people.
Not the girl one.
Mer people, my
friend. You're pathetic.
Yeah.
Who's pathetic?
Well, but I believe that like the male is much smaller. And latches on right. and like becomes part of the female.
Well, I think the female eats the head of the male after they've mated. That's what I've heard. So actually,
no, you're taking a mermaid to a seedy motel. But
well, that's what I mean. What I've heard is that supposedly in myth and legend, even if the mermaids are real, like they will fucking kill you. They'll drown you. They'll bite off your junk. They'll just devour all of you. Like. They're not very nice. So
and you're drunk.
It's very suspicious and probably irresponsible of the mayor of this little town in Israel, Kiryat Yam, to get more tourists to his town by saying that there are mermaids there. Whether there are mermaids or not, he's either a fraud or he's putting people's lives in danger because mermaids will kill you and shit. That's what I've
heard. It's like Jaws. Same idea.
Yeah. I just don't.
Also, mermaids are an endangered species. Like, the boats will run them over and stop them. There'll be even less of them.
No, you are thinking of the sea cow or manatee.
Yeah, I'm not aware that there's a difference.
They are the same thing. They just go by different
names. They're closely related.
Now, let's not get into body shaming.
I don't even know what that is.
Shaming somebody. It's like slut shaming.
Making fun of
their body shape.
Body.
Oh, okay.
It's instigating a culture of aesthetics where anybody who has fat or is like not physically perfect is shamed for being not physically perfect.
It's an ad hominem attack.
Oh, you mean like high school?
Yeah, all of middle and high
school. Or just all of the world always.
Yes, you're... What we're describing when we say body shaming is almost everyone, at least at some point in their lives. So, shame on you. We're shaming body shamers.
Well, we've just admitted it's everyone, therefore it's ourselves too.
I do feel ashamed.
I think we've all learned a little something about ourselves today.
Every human being should be ashamed of themselves. Every human being.
Always.
Human being.
Second of every day.
Earthlings.
I believe that's the point of several religions are based around that very idea.
And the mermaids. Mermaids should also be ashamed of their bodies and themselves.
I thought you didn't think they were real.
Well, you said there are fake ones. So the fake ones. The people who dress up as mermaids, which is the most goddamn ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life, if that's real. And I kind of want to search for it online, but I'm kind of afraid of what I'll find.
It's real. If you want a specific jerk who needs to be punched in the face, just go to Google and search for In the Eyes of March. The eyes, not Ides, like eyeball.
Santa, why did you want mermaids to be real so bad? Why do you believe?
Well, it's not that I believe in them. It's that I know they're real. Like the Easter Bunny shadow governments. I know they're real because I've seen them.
So as a mythical being, as an icon, do you get
to hung out with them.
You get to see things that other mortal men cannot.
Apparently. I thought that you guys were doing the same stuff, but...
Well, some of it, but I feel like we're all in our own little genres here. I mean, I don't hang out with mermaids or the Easter Bunny. I do know about the Shadow Government. You're right about that. That is absolutely 100% a real functioning thing and has been since at least the first Civil War.
See, so if you can end up believing in that, or at least knowing that that exists, just take my word for it. They're real. But and,
which Shadow Government?
Right, they are kind of dicks.
The Shadow Government.
Which one?
Not the Astral Government. The Shadow Government. There's, like, the Psychic Shadows... And that government, and then there's, like, the one that's underground. It's kind of, like, at the same underground level that our base is, but, like, further down. They're really shitty neighbors, actually.
We should just attack them right now.
Because you never know.
Because they might attack us later. So I think we know what we're doing after this. We're beating up interns, and then!
Yeah, that's right. Right, I'm gonna write this all down. It's getting complicated. So... Mermaids are the jerks.
I'm getting my shovel after this. Dig down and get...
I'm always up for an adventure, and you all remember our exciting adventure in space. Let's see, what's happened? Should we recap?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Should we recap what's been going on with Galactar? Because I still don't know who Galactar is, why it's the war of him, pretty much anything that's happened so far.
So, if I can recall... because I wasn't there. Some guy who wasn't me was on a planet, and he said an ancient incantation which woke the planet up and made it a living planet, but then he killed it.
That
and
was
then,
you. That was you.
No. Then a bunch of other planets came, and then he killed them, and then there was a civil war in space.
Still, that was the time you were in space.
I was... No, I was probably eating snacks or something. I wasn't there. Because I clearly remember that someone was supposed to build me an entertainment stand, and they never finished it.
Blame the interns for that.
That's what I'm thinking.
The thrilling final conclusion of the end of the War of
Galactus.
Previously... on the Revengers War of Galactar, the werewolves were about to attack Hot Mike. The Momath Princeps warned him of danger. Instantaneously, the video space transmessage is cut off and interrupted by the Lycan King, who speaks.
They've turned my werewolf warriors into space versions. When we have space vacation, using the terrible secrets of space, you will not escape.
Hot Knights decries cruel fate.
How I get this entertainment center done?
Meanwhile in space, the magic spaceship of Harjar and Dreshka Penicillin about to come to battle, where Dr. Tasty is power madness. But no, Dr. Tasty is froze, and it turns out that he faked the power madness so that he could eat Tasty Snack. Fuck! Dresh sees Mr. Taster about to explode, but it is too late.
We must get to Dr. Tasty right away, or he'll kill us.
What about this?
Does this space Quinn?
No matter. I will ask and entertain what is to be done about this. Post hats.
Freshman Penicillin, 2008. Odd Jar declares they will not be able to make it to the space combat in time before explode. So it is decided that they'll use the ultra-secret warp technology Hard Jar commandeered from a space pirate in space one time when he was in space one time. So they warp it. And again, in space, but in a different part. Dr. Tasty is succumbing to the fake power madness and is about to explode. no difference, though, because Dr. Tasty knew what he was doing all along. It was because he had to fight all these spaceships in space on various space planets. He was not tired or anything, but he grew wary of the fighting, but he wanted to go home and play a video game. It was then he noticed the Revengers secret space cruiser that he knew about was coming.
Ho ho ho, I did it again? Eat a dick, Bresh.
And then Dr. Tasty exploded. But then it turned out the spaceship had a shield and it was alright. Uh-oh. Freshback talked to Dr. Tasty in space.
Hey man, you forgot to take out the garbage.
I am not in charge of waste duties. It is of your inheritance and guild to take it out of the compounding. And you have us wet socks, jerk.
They were about to exchange blooms, but it turned out the whole Galactic Civil Space Fleet was in the arena! Meanwhile, in the comm point again, Hot Knife is juggling fight space werewolves and making entertain stands. Ka-chow! Hot Knife cuts through a werewolf like a hot knife through butter.
Man! Why they always gotta describe me like that?
Momath Princess of Space says through Vox Command.
Hot Knife, I am Mammoth Bigness of Space. You should beat up all the werewolves immediately.
Hot Knife says.
Hey! Thanks, lady, for the hot tots. I kudos the circuits for best up the werewolf.
The rear 69 wolves set for Hot Knife to kill and beat up.
Guess I had gang works to do!
Meanwhile in space, back in space again! Every villain in the universe is there and ready for blood. Dr. Tasty explains that it was his plan all along to get the bad guys there so he could kill them all at once.
That's a stupid plan. You're stupid and the whole galaxy is stupid. Stop being so stupid!
Shouts Brespik.
No. My plan is through to win. We will kill all of the bad guys and be done with it.
Okay. If this doesn't work, it's your head.
Fine.
The Revengers face in a Mexican face-off with the Galactic Civil War. It is silent for what seems to be an eternity forever. But it wasn't. That's just how it felt, you know? Well, anyway, after a few seconds, everyone starts attacking, and there are missiles and lasers, energy blasts flying all over everywhere. Ajog throws a planet at Mac Davis's entire armada. It is destroyed. The Revengers seem to be winning, but then it turns out that Mastermind shit a super missile at Harjar's ship, and it exploded so, like, 10% of the Revengers' firepower disappeared. How will they get home? But as soon as all seemed lost, suddenly Space Knight and the Space Knights came and started beating the ever-loving bejesus out of everyone. This goes on for a very long time. Even the goats of Irish Cream appear to be making ghost Baileys for everyone. But no one can drink it because only goats can enjoy that stuff. Dr. Tasty says he's
I've
had
enough.
And fucking explodes! Supernova! Everyone thing is quiet. Dim darkness is what is happening, and it seems to be a peaceful but dread calm in the deepness of space. Dead all around, and the soft wail of tortured spirit is dead on fallen ears. How sad is this day? Is not for the ones who die? One must use the fire and strength of their inner fire spirit to regenerate hope. Do not despair, for it is the remainders who must deal with this wreck of the preciousness of life and forego their ideals. If one has friendship and the friends of friendship, then they is not lost, but found. Found sullen, sickly, infinite power. Sift through the dead of your ill portent and realize the sake of it. Some people start to rise from the wreckage of full on galactic war. They shrug off pavement and planet residue, pieces of moons and sun goo, asteroid dust, spaceship leavings, and nasty bugs with blood on them pill. Dr. Tasty awakened.
Where am I?
He knew where he was, but he wanted to see if anyone else could hear him. They couldn't because they are in space, and sound does not travel through a vacuum. This is bad. How could he communicate? Brushvik steps over a huge pile of wreckage.
I think we're the last of them. Where's Harbjar? Harbjar!
Rest make look. Harbjar! Where
are you?
He'd look and look, and seems Harbjar. Like he won't find him.
Harbjar!
This is where a sad where song will play. But then turn into an excite song because Harbjar appears!
Revengerous! Thank you.
Some people give him a hug, but not Dr. Tasty or Bob Sequious or Cookie Monster or Conan the Barbarian, who all miraculously survived the fight. But Breshvik gives him one, and so does Bob Sequious. And also Nitro Dog. Because he's a cool dog. Breshvik wipes a tear off his shoulder.
So, what happened?
I started a galactic civil war. But you guys showed up and we killed all of them.
Dr. Tasty was eating a hot dog. Breshvik stares for a bit, then shrugs it off.
Oh well, let's get back to the compound and watch our TV on our brand new entertainment stand!
Everyone yells,
All right!
And they blast off on cobbled together rocket parts. When they get there, the compound is in full disarray. There are corpses of interns everywhere. The place is completely demolished. They go to the entertainment room and find Hot Knife standing amidst a mountain of space werewolf corpses.
Fuck! What the hell?
Asks Dr. Tasty.
I took care of it, guys! Don't worry!
Hot Knife says proudly.
Why is the entertainment stand busted? It is not done?
Says Brushwick.
No, it's done. It's a bit of bad shape, but it'll do. Aren't you gonna ask how things went?
Hot Knife.
Oh, Hot Knife. You little rascal.
Says Harper.
Man! Why you always gotta call me Hot Knife?
Said that guy. Everyone has a good laugh and completely ignores the fact that he single-handedly took on a bunch of space werewolves by himself. The end.
Man, I didn't think that was going to be a funny comedy type thing at the end. I thought it was a sci-fi epic, but for some reason I laughed and laughed.
Yeah, it was funny at the end.
Mm-hmm. I like when they insert a little comedy after all the suspense. And the scary parts, like the werewolves and the big adventure parts and the battles, because it really lightens the mood. And whoever wrote that, I mean, they deserve the highest writing awards of writing.
It keeps the children from having nightmares.
I think so. I mean,
ending on a high note.
If you show someone being horribly dismembered, like organ by organ and their skin peeled off, but then like you look to the camera and do a funny one-liner or a pun and then wink, they'll be perfectly all right with that. Or have, like, a bunny.
Like, jumping through the organs and stuff?
Yeah. It's misdirection.
As it's on the exam table? Yeah.
It's just simple misdirection.
Mm-hmm.
You call that
it's a thing. Darling.
I think that whole bit about Dr. Tasty being the guy who started the Civil War is false, because I really don't remember being there, and I definitely don't go to space.
You have been,
or am not
in
from space.
Well,
I've never been to space.
Being from space and going to space are different. You don't have to admit to anything.
Why? It's space. What's there? What's out there?
Well, we're in space right
Nothing.
Now.
Nothing. How are we in space?
We're on a pebble that's floating in space.
It has an atmosphere, and you know, it's not in space.
It is in space, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not in space.
Okay, here. Well, let me just give a middle ground. Because Brushvik's saying that we're on a pebble. Dr. Tasty's saying we're not. We're on a goddamn planet. It's kind of a planet made out of a fuckload of pebbles.
That's true. And, I'll grant you that. It's a lot of pebbles.
What about fruity pebbles?
We have a lot of every type of pebble, including both fruity and cocoa.
Did he take my fruity pebbles?
No, that's not what I was. So I'm glad you guys all like the War of Galactar. For those of you who maybe were a little confused by some of the content's more adult or complex, deeper themes and the darker kind of resonance that's in there, well, if you want to read the whole thing and read it again and again and glean more from it, just go to the Revengerous Wiki, the revengerousconsortium.wikia.com, and we have a ton of great pages on there. We're adding more every day. Hey, guys, we're almost to 600. We'll have our 600 party.
600.
Woo, confetti and champagne.
There is a sequel to the 300 movie coming out at some point.
It's just twice as many dudes.
Probably twice as many dudes.
That was
so it's 600.
Are there any wiki pages we want to recommend?
Well, Team Rainbow Pony.
Oh my god, Team Rainbow Pony. Yes. We've helped Team Rainbow Pony. They're kind of like a subset of the Revengerists that went and did their own little team for a while. Jim Vivas took some of the weaker or lesser known awesomes from our team and set up a team where they would play Halo on Xbox. But they would actually find the people on Halo who were yelling like bigotry and people who were racist or homophobic. And then they would find them in real life and beat up the trolls. So this is a really great team. If you've ever played against Team Rainbow Pony on Xbox, you should count yourselves lucky that you did not get beat up by a Viking god and a bunch of other dudes. And sometimes a girl.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
You got beaten by a
girls
girl at video games.
Girls don't play Halo.
No, they do. There are real girls who are gamers. Don't.
Team Rainbow Pony is reserved for the Revengerists
right.
only.
And Revengerist allies and associates.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you don't get to be on Team Rainbow Pony. Another cool page. Dirk Kirch, you want to tell us a little bit about the conspiracy of the Fives?
The Laws of Fives states that anything can be mathematically brought down to five.
Even three?
Indeed.
How would you do that? I mean, I'm looking at the... I'm not a numismatist, or...
I could tell you.
Or a Numa Numa guy, but I know...
Well, three is five letters long.
Oh my god, my mind is blown. You did! You just brought it to five!
Three also has three ends of the line, and it has two bumps. So three plus two is five.
So wait, what's this mean for us? Is this good or bad that the universe is written in fives?
It can actually go both ways. It can take the left-hand path or the right-hand path, and it doesn't really matter in the end. They all cancel out because it becomes five.
That's like computers.
No.
No? Okay.
No, it's like five divided by five is zero. You never get to one.
Here's some proof from our wiki. Coincidence? The word with 11 letters. One of the U.S. currency coins is a nickel, which is 5 cents. That's five. The second C in coincidence is an S sound. If you take coins out of coincidence, you have 6 letters. 11 minus 6 is 5. Coins is 5 letters. Cents is 5 letters. Coins are also cents.
What does not add up is nickel. It's 6 letters. But if you subtract a cent from a nickel, you only have 4 cents, but a nickel is 5 cents. However, 5 cents, quote-unquote, is cents, which is 25 letters. 25 pennies is a quarter. 4 quarters is a dollar. A dollar is 1 unit. Subtract that 1 from 5 and you get 4. The same amount as if you subtract a cent from a nickel and you get 4 cents. 4, quote-unquote, cents is 20 letters. Divisible by 5, and if you multiply 20 by 5, you get 100, the same as a dollar.
This can't be a coincidence. There's too much of your...
Exactly.
Obviously, 5 is the most powerful character in the Revengers Omniverse. Santa!
Hey!
Do you have a product for this week?
Of course I have a product to endorse that I have never tried. At bobswatches.com, you can end up buying a Rolex Submariner 11610NLN for the low, low price of damn near $8,000. Try Bob's Watches, the best fucking watch website this side of otherwatch.com. The only one I've ever used and ever will use. I know it because I've never used it.
Did you say it's the Submariner watch or Subpariner?
That's right, the Submariner.
Okay.
Rolex.
It's not right. Laymore the Subpariner.
Right. This is a fucking Rolex, my friend.
Because I'm not a fan of Laymore.
It's the Rolex of watches.
Well, thank you, Santa, and the rest of you, whatever your names are, for joining me this week as we broke it down, flipped it around, and reversed it. And
ended on the one.
Ended on the one. You know what they say.
If we can't save you... You haven't paid the fee for us to save you.
Oh yeah, we're doing that now.
For a low membership cost of $6,750.32, you can have us save you.
right on.
But you get a free t-shirt.